Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
At the beginning of this year, the Lord told us that we were going into a season of advance. And that is clearly what has been happening. He said to me, it's going to be a season of particular grace, of special grace upon Kingdom Faith and therefore upon the lives of those who belong to Kingdom Faith. And Pastor Clive has already mentioned what a tremendous time we had with the leaders during the conference this past week. More leaders than have ever been to one of our conferences here before. And God did a really deep and profound work in their lives, a sign of His special favor. He's already mentioned, Clive's already mentioned about that time that we had with the churches that we planted ourselves as Kingdom Faith. And there again, that's the evidence of the very special grace that is upon Kingdom Faith at this time. We did have a tremendous wedding. We have a series of tremendous weddings here, but there was something very special about yesterday. And I don't think I've ever heard so many people comment on how special it was, especially the visitors from other places. Special grace. And we can anticipate so much more in the coming months. But what does it really mean for us to advance? Where are we advancing to? And what does it mean for each of us personally to be advancing? Do you sense that since the beginning of the year you have advanced? And in what way does God want us to advance in the future? Let's turn to some scriptures. I'm going to use, of course, the truth. You must really get used to bringing the truth every week, because when we preach, it doesn't matter who's going to preach, we're going to be using the truth now, because the best way to promote something is to use it. And all the people that download and so on, they're going to get more and more familiar with the truth. I know you don't have the Old Testament. Don't ask me if I'm going to translate the Old Testament. It's not a question I even want to hear asked. But we can always put up the scriptures from the Old Testament if you only want to bring one Bible with you. We need to become more and more familiar with this. Get it used. Because one of the things we discovered is there's lots of leaders and others out there that don't even know about it. And all those who do and they begin to use it, they so much appreciate it that we want to make it known. Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians 9, that's where you turned to, wasn't it? Those of you that were listening to the Spirit, hallelujah. In a race, verse 24, in a race everyone competes, but only one wins the trophy for coming first. You know this well. Run as if you are determined to win that trophy. Every competitor has to go into strict training if he expects to win the crown, even though such an honor has no lasting value. But we run to receive a crown of eternal significance. So I do not run in an aimless fashion. I am not like a boxer beating the air. No, I discipline my body so that it stays under my control. For when I have preached to others, I do not want to be disqualified myself from winning the prize. Now, Paul is talking about winning a prize, running to win the prize. That's not salvation, because you don't have to win salvation. You are given salvation. But there is a prize that you have to win. And just as, of course, in Bible times, the athletics that took place, the winner of the race was given a crown of laurel leaves. So now we run to win a crown. Amen. Do you realize that when you die, you will go to heaven because you've been saved, but you may not have a crown? The crown you have to win. The crown is the prize that is the result of what you have done. Salvation is the gift from God and is the result of what He has done. And it's quite clear from what Jesus and others teach us about heaven, not everybody is the same in heaven. There will be the crowned ones and the uncrowned ones. What's the difference? Those who have been crowned will actually reign with Christ. Those who are there will be under His reign, but those who have been crowned will reign with Him. Let's just see elsewhere what we can learn about this. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. My brothers, I know that I have not yet appropriated everything, but I maintain my focus. So I forget what lies behind me in the past, and I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Yes, I press on toward my goal, which is to gain the prize that God has for me when He calls me home to heaven in unity with Christ Jesus. Your salvation is not the prize. Your salvation is God's gift. You already have that. But the prize is what you're running after. And we need to know how to win that prize. You can't have the prize now. You see, when a race is being run, you might have somebody way, way out in front of the rest of the field, and it's quite obvious that this guy is going to win the race. But he still won't get the prize, he won't get the trophy, he won't get any accolades unless he finishes the race. He can't say midway through the race, well, I'm so far above, beyond everybody else, in front of everybody else, it's obvious I'm going to win. He still has to finish the course. And of course, if we read carefully what Jesus says in many of His parables, as for example, in the parable of the sower, there are many that won't finish the course. Those who receive, but they're like the rocky soil. No depth of root, and when the going gets hard, they give up. Those like the seed that falls in the thorny soil, other things grow up in their lives and choke the life. Will they be saved? Well, if they've trusted in the grace of God, that salvation is a gift. Will they receive the prize? No, because the prize is for the good soil. Those that bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. They don't give up. They don't get throttled. They persevere. When you get the study version of the truth, there's a section on perseverance because there is so much in the New Testament about the perseverance of faith. The reward, the prize, the trophy, the crown is for those who persevere. Let's look, see what else we can learn from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18-19. No, it's not the right... I think we better be in chapter 2, verse 18-19. There will be those... I mean, it's still Scripture, chapter 3, 18-19, let me tell you. But we'll settle for chapter 2 for the present. There will be those who want to influence you by drawing you away from the truth. Why? So that you don't get the prize. So that you are not able to lay hold of your inheritance. That's the prize. You see, God has a crown awaiting you so long as you persevere. Are you breathing? Okay. Such people put on a display of false humility and they hold to strange doctrines about angels. People can appear to be so spiritual, but actually they're not running the race to win the prize. They're living very selfish and soulish Christian lives. I'll come on to that a bit later. Okay, now let's go right to chapter 22, right to the end of the New Testament. Chapter 22, verse 12. Revelation. What did I say? The end. Well, it is the end. The last book in the Bible, book of Revelation. Okay, chapter 22, verse 12. Look, this is Jesus speaking. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. Now, salvation is not the reward, because salvation is a gift. But he says, my reward is with me. Now, who gets the reward? Well, what does he say? To give to each person what his deeds deserve. So, he will give the crown to those who deserve the crown. Salvation is the gift you've already received by your faith in Christ Jesus. So we're not talking about your eternal destiny, but we're talking about what will happen for you eternally. God's got a crown. God's got an inheritance for you. But you have to run the race to win the prize. Why don't we hear more of this among preachers? Because I think people are very afraid to talk about reward because they think it might appear as if what we're saying is you've got to earn salvation. Oh, no, we're very clear. Salvation is a gift. It's a work of God's grace. And it comes solely by faith in what Jesus Christ has done in response to the repentance, to the turning over of our lives and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That is all the grace of God, and there's nothing we can or ever could do to earn salvation. But you do have to earn the prize. You do have to earn the reward because Jesus says that that reward is measured to you according to what you have done. So on the day of judgment, you don't have to fear being judged and condemned because you know you have received the salvation of God. But on the day of judgment, your reward will be assessed. Okay, now, let's see how this works out in our lives now. Some of you are looking a bit shell-shocked. It happens to be the Word of God. I'm quoting from the Scriptures here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. We are the body of Christ. Thank you. We are the body of Christ. That is not a title for the church. It's a description of the church. It's a description of what the church is to be. The body of Christ. The body of people that form Christ in the world today. So we are to be a local expression of the body of Christ. Now, what does what does the scripture say here? Verse 4. Every one of us has a body with several different parts, each with its distinctive function. In the same way, all those who belong to Christ form his one body. So we all belong to him and also to one another. As with the parts of a human body, we do not all have the same functions. And so on. Paul goes to explain more about that. Okay, we are the body of Christ. Each one of us individually is a member of that body. Although we are very different, and you had a good visual example of that when all the jump into church people came forward, they really looked a motley crew like we all look. But God has chosen us to be his body. Amen? Amen? Now, he is the head of the body. So we need to focus for a moment on his headship. Amen. Amen. What is the function of the head? Well, now, first of all, the head contains the brain. And the members of the body can only function in a healthy way if they have a healthy, right relationship with the head. The brain will direct every part of the body, every member of the body. If I raise my arm like that, something's happening in my brain that is getting transmitted through the nervous system to enable me to raise my hand, move my finger, walk. And if that line of communication is broken, then I become paralyzed. If it is impaired, then I cannot move in a proper and healthy manner. So the brain is to direct every member of the body. So every member of the body has to be in submission to the head, or it cannot function healthily. So if we're not in right relationship with the head, it's pretty obvious that we cannot do with our lives what God intends and so win the crown. We might be a part of the body because we have been saved, because by the grace of God we have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, but we will not necessarily win the crown. Now, my love for Kingdom Faith is I don't want anybody connected with Kingdom Faith to miss the crown. I want everybody to be crowned. And you see, Jesus says, didn't he, that when he comes again, some will be put in charge of cities. You see, when he establishes his perfect kingdom, you could be ruling over cities because you have been faithful and because you've received the reward. And because you have the crown, you have entered into the fullness of your inheritance. So it's very important for us, everyone, to be in right relationship with the head, because the brain directs the body. But the brain is also the center of thought. If we are in right relationship with the head, our thinking will be in line with the thinking of Christ. Our thoughts will be at one with his thoughts. Paul puts it, you know, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You will get his heavenly perspective even on the circumstances of your daily life. But you will also understand what it is that he wants you to do. We shouldn't have this people moving about in here during the word. This is dishonoring to the Lord. Exactly. If God is speaking to his body, we all need to be absolutely attentive to what he's saying. So, the thinking of the body has to come from the head. It's not for us, therefore, to determine with our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own reasoning, or our own opinions what we should be doing as believers, as those who belong to the body. The revelation comes from the head. And the body can only function by revelation. And you can only win the prize through responding to the revelation that the Spirit of God brings through the head. You see, if you start making decisions about your life that don't come from revelation, that's the soul, not the spirit. That's the self. It's not God. You are deciding with your own human reasoning what you should do. That is not God. God speaks by revelation that comes from the head. And so every one of us needs to receive revelation for what God is saying to us. But the direction of the whole body, of course, comes from the revelation that God will give to the leadership. Because he's not going to lead the members of the body in a whole lot of different directions all at the same time. The head also contains the mouth. So the body of Christ will be led by the Word of God. Revelation, you see, is what Christ is saying to his body. So if he says, this is a time of advancement, this is a time of special grace, this is a time when you're going to see my life, my love, my power released in a fresh way, that is what we will see so long as we believe the revelation that comes from his mouth. And not everybody is called to be the mouthpiece of God to represent what the head is saying, but that's the job of the leadership of those who have God's anointing and commission to preach. It would be useless this morning if I was up here saying what I wanted to say. I have to be his mouthpiece, and I have to be in the place with him where I can be his mouthpiece. So that together we can hear what the head is saying. So when he speaks, we need to take notice of what he says. Because otherwise the body can't function. It will dysfunction if it does anything that is not in obedience to the leading of the head. Now, if we're going to advance, we can only advance through obedience. We can never advance through disobedience. Hello? So we have to listen, we have to believe, and we have to obey what God is saying. Are we there? The head also contains the eyes. God sees what we are all doing. He actually sees into your heart to see the motive with which you are doing what you're doing. He also sees whether when we have heard what he's saying, we respond immediately and in the way that he decides, the way that he wants. You see, God is concerned not only with what we do, but how we do it. Whether we do it in the power of the Spirit or whether we try to do it in our own natural strength. He's also concerned about when to do it. Whether as soon as he speaks, we are ready to obey, or whether we prevaricate and try to delay because we don't like what he's saying or because it seems costly. In other words, we prefer the soul to the spirit, the self to what God is saying. Do I have any friends here this morning? Okay. So, he is seeing what you're doing. You know on the day of judgment there was the division between the sheep and the goats. Why? Because he had been watching what everybody had been doing. He knew who'd done the business and he knew who hadn't. There was no crown for the goats. Hello? Yes. The head also contains the ears. In other words, the head listens when the body speaks to him. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we receive from him whatever we ask. Because he loves the body and he's listening to the body. You see, we sort of call Jesus the head, but without necessarily stopping to think, well, what does that mean? It means he wants to direct it. It means he wants our thoughts in line with his thoughts. He wants us listening to his word. It means he's watching what is going on to make sure that we're doing his will in the way that he wants, that he's listening to us when we pray because he knows that we can't fulfill his purpose without him. But the head also contains the nose. He knows, that's not a pun, but he knows whether we are a sweet aroma. Whether we're the sweet aroma of Christ or a nasty smell. Now, how do we become the sweet aroma of Christ? Because we honor him, we worship him, not just with our words, but with our lives, amen, in doing whatever he calls us to do. Amen. I want the prize. Amen. I want a crown. Anybody else want a crown? I mean, it would be pretty galling, wouldn't it, to have to spend all eternity in heaven knowing that God intended you to have a crown, and there you were without the crown. That would be eternal regret, wouldn't it? That instead of running to win the prize, you just sort of ambled through life spiritually. You didn't win anything. There was no prize. You weren't an overcomer. Ever read Revelation 2 and 3? Yes. Yes. To he who overcomes, yes, I will give the crown of life. Amen. Who is the overcomer? The one who has persevered to the end. The one who, when there's obstacles, he doesn't stop. He pulls down the barriers. He still perseveres. He's still going to the very end. He advances and never stops advancing. Is this good news or is this good news? Now, if there was a lot more time, I'd speak about reward. We had a really, really significant session when on the last evening, the Tuesday evening, I spoke about reward. And that has become the last week's keynote, which is up there on the website. So you can download it and you can hear much more than I can say now about that reward. And what it really means to say that God will reward us according to what we have done. But you see, Jesus, all the way through his teaching, says things like this. Like, for example, when you pray, go into your room by yourself and pray in secret. And your heavenly Father, who sees what you do in secret, will openly
reward you.
Will openly what?
Reward you.
Hallelujah. He sees, and he sees what is good, so there's a reward. So, yes, there's the eternal crown, but there's also reward now. Last week, Clive was talking about your favorite subject of giving. And there's so much in Scripture about the blessings that we give now when we are faithful in our tithing and our giving. God opens the windows of heaven. The measure you give is the measure you get back. If you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. If you give, God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's all reward for you giving. But also, Jesus says, when you give, do it secretly. Don't let one hand know what the other one's doing. And God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. But he says something else about giving that affects the crown. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Do you realize that not only will you get a return now, but every time you are faithful in giving and tithing, you are storing up riches in heaven, according to Jesus. And if anybody knows how to store up riches in heaven, it's Jesus, the one who came from heaven. So you see, this business of reward is all the way through. Jesus even says, hey. Well, he didn't actually say hey, but it's... it's the Revised Truth Version. Hey. When you're persecuted, hated, reviled, opposed, suffer any kind of persecution for my sake, rejoice! Leap for joy! Because that's what they've done to me. So they'll do it to you. And great will be your reward in heaven. So you see, I've suffered a lot of persecution and all kinds of nonsense people have said, and you know, I never, ever, ever try to refute any of those things publicly or to answer them back. I mean, it's sheer nonsense. But I just say, thank you, Lord, I've got a greater reward. And all those that have, you know, defamed or tried to defame me in any way, I thank God that he's their instrument in giving me a greater reward. Because that's the word of God. All I've got to do is not defend myself, not try to vindicate myself, But all I've got to do is just keep my focus on Jesus, keep going with him, keep persevering, keep doing what he wants, never mind anybody else, and my reward will be great in heaven. Amen. This is the gospel. Says, oh, if they treat you and you have a difficult time, don't get all worked up and worried about it. That's what they did to me. But look at the reward I have in heaven now. And you will come and be crowned with me, and you will reign with me, and you will sit on the throne with me, he says. I mean, I'm up for that. I don't want to just get into heaven as one who has been saved by fire.
Exactly.
Huh? There are those that are going to get in, but just. Yes, you can have a deathbed repentance, and that means the person will go to heaven, but there won't be any reward. So it's not worth leaving that commitment to Jesus till the last minute. I mean, praise God that people do come to the Lord on their deathbed and they do go to heaven and not hell. I praise God for that. But, I mean, we are the privileged ones because God has opened our eyes to the truth. He's opened our hearts to the truth, opened our ears. We have received Jesus. Jesus lives in us. And we've got all these years ahead for us to win the prize, to persevere, to be crowned, to get a great and rich reward. Because when Jesus comes again, he will bring his reward with him. And that reward is to reward you for what you have done. Now, we must be careful. Because even the things we do are the work of faith. Why? Because, dear beloved friends, the reward is only for the things that the Spirit of God has done through you. The things that you do in your own strength, there's no reward. Uh-huh. With a few exceptions, we'll come to those in a minute. But for believers, there's no reward for what you want to do. There's no reward for your opinions. No reward for your reasoning powers. No reward for anything that you do out of the natural self. Because to actually function like that, according to Jesus, is the flesh. And in your flesh there dwells nothing good. But God has put his Spirit within you so that in all things you can function in the power of the Spirit. So Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You cannot do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you do it in the power of the Spirit. You can't do with your natural life things in the name of Jesus, because to do it in the name of Jesus, do it in the person of Jesus, it's to do it as Jesus did it. And Jesus always functioned in the power of the Spirit. So whatever we do, we're making because he's the brain, the thought, the director of the body. We're making decisions that are in line with God's thinking.
Amen.
Decisions of the Spirit, not the soul. Decisions of what God wants, not what I want.
Amen.
Or not what you want.
Amen.
Decisions that come out of trust in his supernatural ability, not simply our natural reasoning and natural talents. Oh, God will use that, but in submission to the Spirit. So every time the Spirit of God works through you, there will be reward.
Amen.
Every time you deny yourself so that God can work through you, You're storing up reward for yourself. But every time you just make a decision out of your own preference, there's no reward. God can only fulfill His purposes through a spiritual people. Amen. That means through a people that are led by the Spirit. Paul says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God because the head will lead us by the Spirit. So what we don't want to do is make decisions that are out of personal, soulish preference. Now, let me just give you a few examples because we're going to put legs on this, don't we? You made a decision to be here this morning. Why? Because every Sunday the head calls his body together. His purpose is for the whole body to be together so the head can give direction, can bless, can encourage, and so on. Enable. Not just speak to us, but so his life can flow through us. So that was a decision of the Spirit. Now, if you decided to come late, was that a decision of the Spirit or the soul? I'm merely asking the question. But you know well what the answer is. If you begin, when God calls us to meet together in the Spirit, if you begin with a soulish decision, you don't exactly begin with the best start to what God wants to do here on a Sunday. When he calls the body of Christ together, he doesn't call us to be late. I'm just using this as an example because it's a very obvious one. A handful of people this morning were at the prayer meeting. Now, is he calling us all together to pray or just a handful? Now, for some practical reasons, some people might not be able to come because of children and all the rest to the prayer meeting, but if we make a decision not to go to the prayer meeting, is that a decision of the soul or the spirit? Of Christ, the head, or of self, the flesh? Just asking. Now, Wednesday night, there is a wonderful, wonderful event. Arsenal are playing Barcelona. That promises to be just about the greatest match of the season. I know where soulishly I would like to be on Wednesday evening, but even though it's Arsenal, if I chose to be at home watching the match and not at the victory in prayer meeting, would that be a decision of the soul or the spirit? I'm not getting many answers to these questions. Would that be a soulish decision or a spiritual decision? So I'm not going to make that decision. I'm going to make the spiritual decision to be where God wants me to be as a member of his body at the prayer meeting. But you see, you could find some other soulish reasons not to be there on Wednesday. Perhaps you don't have the great blessing of being an Arsenal supporter, so that's not the issue. But there may be something else that out of preference you would do rather than out of obedience to the Spirit of God who calls his body together to pray. Now, we would have to say that all of us make soulish decisions at times. We choose to please ourselves and not the Lord. But we are in a bad way spiritually if we don't see that that's significant. And if our hearts are not really set upon pleasing Him by really moving and walking in the Spirit as He intends. Because we here at Kingdom Faith have been called to fulfill the purpose of God. And we can only fulfill the purpose of God in the Spirit by obeying the Spirit. Why do people make soulish decisions? Decisions based upon selfish preference. Usually because they have no revelation as to what the Spirit is saying. If you don't have revelation because you're not listening, then you're going to just make a decision off your own bat. Or else they make a decision out of the fact that they don't like what God is saying. So, you know, you could say, I don't want to be at the Victory in Prayer meeting. Well, what's that got to do with it? Yeah. Nobody said that you had to want to be there. God just says that's where you ought to be. Of course, He wants you to come with the right attitude. Because you want to meet with Him, you want to pray, you want to break through, you want to move ahead, you want to advance. And if we're not praying, we won't advance. Don't leave it to the praying people to drag you along. Because the ones who do the praying will get the crown, and those who get dragged along will just get there. Now, you might not like this message. Actually, I don't like it much myself. Because you might say, look, you're making a distinction between first-class and second-class Christians. Do you know, I'm afraid that's true, because that's what the New Testament does. And we are told not to go and make converts, but to make disciples. And disciples are the ones who persevere. Disciples are the one who live as the sons of God. Disciples are the one who are being obedient to the Spirit. The sons of God who are seeing the Word of God outworked in their lives. Those are the disciples. Those are the sons of God. Those are the obedient ones. Those that are storing up for themselves a rich reward in heaven. Now, praise God. I don't have to judge anyone. You don't have to judge anyone. You don't have to look at others and say, he's being soulish. I'm being spiritual. Because you see, Jesus said, by their fruit you will know. How do you know which ones are functioning in this? Look at the fruit. But, you see, Jesus says it has to be fruit that will last. And the only fruit that lasts is the fruit that is produced by the Spirit. Because the Spirit is eternal. So when the Spirit does something, woo, lasting fruit. When you do something, it might appear to be good, but it can still be of the soul. No reward. Now, you are going to be very, very thankful that you were here this morning. Amen. On the day of judgment, you will be very, very thankful. Say, Lord, I am so pleased that I was there the end of March 2010 when you gave that message to Pastor Colin, because if I hadn't been there, I might never have worked for the prize. I just thought, well, I can just be casual and laid back and it doesn't matter too much what I do because I'm saved. But I thank you so much that I heard that message, and from that day I began to really work for the crown. Hallelujah. This is the basis of the deep work that God was doing in all those leaders this week. Amen. And the climax to that was this message about reward. So get on the website and download that as a follow-up to the message this morning. Let me finish with this. God says advance. How can we advance? We can't advance in the soul. We can only advance in the spirit. We've got to move together. Amen. In the spirit. Yes. It's not a question of each of us doing what we want, saying, well, every member has got to be in right relationship with the head. But you see, it's the head functioning through the body. I mean, if you're an arm, are you sticking out the head? If you're a foot, are you sticking out the head? No, you receive what you receive through the body. So you can only really fulfill the purpose of God as part of the body. I wouldn't want anybody to come before the Lord on the day of judgment and say, well, Lord, nobody ever warned me about reward. Nobody ever told me about reward. I just thought all I had to do is just rejoice and praise God that I've been saved. And not realize that there's a race to win and a prize that I've got to lay hold of. An inheritance I've got to take. So, why is there this season of special favor on Kingdom Faith? Because we are advancing with purpose. Okay, so what is this will of God? It doesn't matter. Whatever He says, we will do. Whatever way the Spirit leads us, we will go. And all those who want to win the prize will go with us. You don't want to win the prize, go and find something else to do with your life. But everybody here is going for the trophy. We're going for the prize. We're going for the crown. We're not going to just get to heaven. We're going to reign with Christ for all eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing is that when that's our motive, we become overcomers. You see, what we just read is, He is the head of the body, we're members of the body, and we're members of one another. We belong to one another. Our lives are integrated together. And it makes a nonsense just to sort of separate us from the body that God has built us into. Except as we saw with Mike and Wendy, they are being sent out. There's a right way and a wrong way to leave a church. That's the right way. If you can't be sent out to what you're doing, then you leave in the wrong way. But if you leave in the right way, you're sent out. You're commissioned to go. And yes, okay, we detach two people from the body here, but they're going to be part of the body over there in Billingshurst. That's fine, because that's the order and the purpose of God. It's all being done in the right way, in submission to God, in submission in the body. It's fine. That's fine. But we can make soulish decisions. I don't want to do this. I don't agree with this. I don't like that. I. Is that self or spirit? That was another question. Is that self or spirit? What I think, my opinion. I don't like this. I don't agree with this. can't run a church that way. God can't organize his body that way. You don't get any reward that way. Hallelujah. Now, don't anybody dare to go from here and say, Colin Urquhart says you've got to earn salvation. He did not say any such thing. He said salvation is a gift. And it's the work of God's grace. And everything that you do in obedience to the Spirit, you do by grace. It's all grace from beginning to end. Hallelujah. Even the fruit you bear is all the grace of God. Even the ways that God has used you is his grace. Even ultimately the reward really, really is the work of his grace. Why? Because it's what he does through you. It wasn't what you did yourself in your own strength. You just happened to cooperate with him and let him do what he wanted to do. And so even the things that earn the reward, he's the one that really does it. And this is the amazing grace of God. He does it and you get the reward. So, it's not I, but Christ. It's Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen. It's not you, the hope of glory. It's not self, the hope of glory. It's not soul, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. It's what he does in you. It's what he does through you. Praise God. I should start to preach in a minute. I'm just getting worked up here. It's wonderful to be part of the purpose of God. And to know that as we persevere and are faithful to the end, so we will inherit that great reward. And when he comes again, I suppose he's going to have a load of crowns with him. Figuratively speaking. And he's going to dish out the crowns. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's all stand. Praise God. I'm just going to say something. I mean, a lot of people going out to the loo now. This is the right time to go to the loo at the end of the message, not in the middle. If you feel that you might want to go to the loo, go before the message begins. Nothing is more distractive when you're preaching to have people moving about. Nothing is more dishonoring to the Lord to get up when he is speaking and just walk out. I mean, we've said this before, that that's really soulish decisions. I mean, hang in there. Yeah, come on. Come on. I mean, we're not little kids. We're adults. You don't think you're going to get through the sermon, then go during the worship before. Put your offering in. Go to the loo. Get back quickly so you can attend to the word. Otherwise, you know, As a preacher, I can say you suspect that some people are just getting up because they're under conviction. Not to go to the loo, but under conviction of the Spirit. Well, if you're under conviction, you need to stay there and persevere to the end and let God do in you what he needs to do. Amen. I'm in fighting mood this morning. Are you in fighting mood? Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, don't you feel such love for God? Such love for Jesus, such love for the head, such love for the body. Oh, come on. Just thank God that you're part of this body. This is a wonderful body. Hallelujah. This is the body of Christ. Just thank him. Oh, Lord.
I thank you that you've made me part of a body that is going to move ahead, that is going to advance, that we're going ahead in the power of the Spirit. We're going ahead in obedience to you. We're not going to be soulish. We're not going to be making selfish decisions that just please ourselves. But Lord, we are ready to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow after you. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to run. We're not going to just saunter along, amble along at our own pace, but we're going to run the race that is set before us. And we're reaching out to win the prize, the upward call of Christ, that crown of which your word speaks. Oh, Lord, you've got hundreds of people here in your body in this place, and we are all after our crowns. Lord, we're not going to be satisfied with anything less than that eternal crown. Thank you that you've got it awaiting us, and we're not going to miss it. We're not going to let anybody distract us from the truth. We're not going to let any barriers come up in the way to hinder our progress. We're not going to listen to any distracting voices. We're not going to let anybody take us out. We're not going to be like that rocky soil where there's no depth of word. And when the pressure comes, we give up. Lord, we are not a giving up people. We're a persevering people. We're an obedient people. We're a people of the spirit, not of the soul. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. You say that he who seeks to save his soul will lose it. But he who loses his soul for my sake, well, Lord, I'm happy to lose my soul so that my soul can be saved. Sounds odd, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus says. You lose your soul in order for your soul to be saved. You try to hold on to your soul life and you'll miss it. That's what he says. So come on, hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Lift your hands, praise him. Oh, come on. Just say, Lord, I'm after the goal. I'm after the prize. I'm running to win. Thank you, Lord, that you're making me an overcomer. You're making me an overcomer. You're making me an overcomer. Hurrasata bakarazataba. O paparazata bakarazituba. O paparazata paria zituriza. Yes! Paparazataria leraba karazituri sanduma. Kokarabataria leraba karazituri satuba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we thank you that you're the head of this body. Yeah, we know you've put leadership in place, Pastor Clive and others with him, Lord, but you are the head. And we thank you that they are going to be in submission to you and sensitive to what you are saying. But Lord, all of us want to be in right relationship with you as the head. All of us want to be submitted to you. All of us want to be obedient to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that you are setting us free from all soulishness and making us the spiritual people that you want us to be, so that your spirit will work through our souls and even out of our bodies as rivers of living water. So we praise you, we bless you, we exalt you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to seal this by receiving communion this morning. Now, What actually are you going to seal? I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, thank you that you've called me to be a man or woman of the Spirit. Not to live by my soulish preferences. Not to base my life on my opinions, my reason, my ideas. But to live in obedience to your Spirit. So you can work in me and through me in the way that you desire, so that I will bear much lasting fruit. And even though it's your work in me, you will give me a rich reward because I've allowed you to outwork your purpose in my life. you can say to the Lord, Lord, this humbles me to know that you will do the work in me, that you will do the work through me, and yet let me have the reward. What a wonderful God you are.
So, Lord, we thank you that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread. And when you had given thanks, you broke it, gave it to your disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As you receive this bread, you receive his body. You receive everything you need to be an effective, obedient, loving, faithful, powerful member of the body. His body in your body, enabling you to be part of his body. Hallelujah. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As you receive this cup, you receive that which has washed away all the past failure, has actually dealt with all soulishness on the cross. Amen. So you no longer have to live by your personal preference, but by what Jesus Christ desires for you as part of his body. Now just thank him that you don't sort of come in and out of the body at will, but you are permanently part of that body, grafted in, belonging to one another. And tell the Lord as you receive these gifts this morning that you want to be a powerful and effective member of the body, fruitful for God. Hallelujah. Let's have the band forward and just begin to distribute the gifts. Hallelujah. This is a joyful moment because we're receiving from the Lord. We're laying hold by faith this morning of everything we need for the race to win the prize.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.